This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Maybe you wanna give me kisses sweet, but only for one night. I
encourage everybody to go to blueshomeraffle.com. It's $25. You have a chance to live in a McBride home for the rest of your life. Two stories, three bedrooms, two and a half baths, valued at $250,000. The best master bedrooms, the best kitchens, the best closets. It's spectacular. It's also for a good cause, Blues for Kids Foundation. Hollywood Casino is our title sponsor. 99 Hops House is the place to be this week, NCAA tournament. All the games will be on. The food is outstanding. 99 different beers to choose from. Hollywood Casino, our title sponsor on the press box.
All right, the Blues win last night. There's now nine games left. Excuse me, there are nine games left. Let's say they win six of the nine, which is a little optimistic, but it's an easier schedule, although they don't play well against the lesser teams. But if they win six of their final nine,
12 more points,
they would finish with 96.
Wow.
So they've been playing hockey for more than 50 years. Where do you think that would rate? Now, I have the answer because Hoffman looked it up, of course.
10th.
13th all time, which is pretty good. Yeah. You could name about six or seven seasons off the top of your head that were really special. So for a team that fired a coach and at Christmas was still pretty bad.
Worst team in hockey.
And still at early January, one of the worst team in hockey point-wise. You could end up with 96, 13th best all time. I felt a little sorry for Hitch last night, didn't you? It's the end of the road as a Hall of Fame coach, and you're in St. Louis, a town that you love where you had some success, and you're on the bench and your team is just getting their teeth kicked in.
Yeah, and as John Kelly pointed out, it's probably going to be the last time we'll see Ken Hitchcock, you know, coach a game in St. Louis, and it'll be the last time St. Louisans see him directly coach ever again. So it's sad, but what a career he's had.
And then again, I was happy to see his team get beat. And to Strick's credit, we were talking in the tunnel before the game, and I said, why is Edmonton so bad? Why aren't they better? I mean, you have star talent and you have high-scoring players. He said their defense is terrible. And then the Blues went out and lit them up. 7-2. We'll talk to Strick. Wednesdays with Strick. That's coming up in the 12 o'clock hour.
Is he actually coming out?
He is not. He's at the rink because they're on the ice, I think, at 11:30. So Strick will be checking. His rink report will be coming up in the noon hour. And we'll beat him up a little bit, too, on the slew thing. He always, and even yesterday, he said, you know, Chris May's my guy. That's my guy. And I said, well, if he's your guy,
then why do you say the season's a failure?
Yeah, wouldn't you be a little more optimistic? Yeah. Like, could we declare the Blues season a failure today? No. You won't know anything until the season's over.
And it's like what you said the other day. How can any human being not be in love with this Billiken story? You know, to go 4 days and 66 hours and make the tournament, win 23 games with a lot of St. Louis kids and a likable coach who does a lot of things for the community. I mean, please.
A coach who, by the way, yesterday agreed to pay for the student beat writer to go out to San Jose. And Brian Kunderman, the sports information director who tweeted it out, said it's great to work for a coach who gets it. And I think that's a little shot there. At
Majerus?
I was thinking Brian Wardle and Bradley, who just had a big showdown with their beat writer who'd been covering the Bradley Braves for 29 years for the Peoria paper, and they tried to limit his access. It was just such a terrible look. And I think Kunderman is saying, and maybe he wasn't weighing in on that, but that's how I read it.
Where did Wardle go to college?
I don't remember. Somewhere in the Midwest.
See, I'm telling you, maybe no school turns out more like blank
irascible
coaches than Marquette. If it's not Dean, it's Wardle. It's who's the other guy who's even worse than Dean? Oh,
well, Tom Crean was.
He was. Crean's not.
Dean's the one that you really didn't like.
But then there was another guy almost as bad as Dean. Oh gosh, O'Neill.
Oh, Kevin O'Neill.
Oh, my O'Neill.
God. Yes.
He was, how can one school turn out so many horses' A's? I mean, that's unbelievable. Those are two of the worst people I've ever met in college sports.
Yeah, but look at the guards they're turning out. Are you kidding me?
Well Buzz was kind of difficult. The coach that they'll now be facing, the Billikens, on Friday.
But now
night.
Travis swears by him, says he's a
great
guy.
Yeah, no, he said they're great friends and all of that. And we've, you know what it is, Frank? We toughen kids up at Marquette. That's what we do.
Yeah, that's what you're calling
it. Jimmy Butler, Dwayne Wade, Marcus Howard, they're turning out some good guards with these coaches.
Jay Crowder playing in the league.
There's another one I've heard about.
Wesley Matthews is in the league.
Yeah, there's another shooting guard.
Thank you.
The two guards.
Well, I didn't say they were turning out players.
The two guards you guys have is actually really impressive.
Frank wasn't questioning the NBA talent. He was saying
I'm saying they're cutting, you know, that's how you build it up.
But I think if you're a sports fan in St. Louis and you didn't go to SLU, what would you rather flip on the TV, pick up the paper, go online, and hear about a first-round exit, a quarterfinal game loss in an A-10 tournament,
yeah,
or a team that gets on a run that's the only way they can make the tournament, and then they're down by 15, and they come back and win, and they've had nothing but bad breaks over the last year and a half, some of it self-inflicted, but it's a fun story. And that's more or less what we said to Strick the other day when I was half-kidding on the text when I said, if you don't like this story, then you're a terrible person. And then Strick said, please, take it back. Terrible. That might have been a little bit strong. But we'll see if Strick backpedals, which he's good at. He's good at covering hockey, and he's good at the backpedal.
He'll be backpedaling NFL draft day. A lot of talk about Drew Lock and that Denver spot at number 10. Now, I don't know. Here's my take is that Denver has so many holes. They're so mediocre, and they have a quarterback in Flacco. Can you really use that first-round pick on a guy who's going to be a backup, you know, at least for one season?
Yeah, it is a little bit of a luxury.
Yeah.
And I think if you're John Elway, at some point, aren't you sort of worried about your job status?
You should.
I mean, he may have a job for life out there because he's John Elway, and it's Denver. But I don't know. Peyton Manning probably bought him an extra 3 to 5 years by going there and winning a Super Bowl. You know, he can always point to that. Although, is Denver winning that Super Bowl? Granted, Von Miller is a stud. If they didn't have Peyton Manning, do you think the Broncos win that Super Bowl?
Oh, no.
Even though he was at a
– compromised
it was
completely.
Later, but still, he's running your team.
Yeah.
He's probably running the room the whole week. So I think the Drew Lock, the best-case scenario is still, and we don't want to see Frank freak out, a late first-round pick. Get to about 20. Still not
that
drafted.
Third Raiders pick, 23, 24, or did they already trade that?
We'll have it'll be a rare instance where Fox 2 has a camera in the News Channel 5 sports offices zoomed in on Frank as Drew Lock. And I want him to go in that first round. I'm positive he will.
Now
I just wanted to tumble just a little bit, just a little bit to make our story on the radio better.
Now, Martin wasn't in studio the day we asked it, but it was unanimous with Plowsy and with Brian. Is which of the two, Strick and Tuna, is more likely to show up with that $100 bill, Martin, on that Friday? Because the draft, that first round is Thursday. And both, I'm not going to even say.
I think Tuna will, actually.
Three.
I think 1,000%. Tuna, it'll be real fresh, crisp. It may or may not be real. He will hand you a fresh, crisp bill, and Strickland will be like, oh, I didn't know we were paying today. I mean, did you want that right away? Because, I mean, I've got an Alexander Steen signed stick out in the car. I mean, that's worth at least, you know, half that. I guarantee Tuna will pay. I think Tuna, even though we don't like a lot of his words, he's a man of his word. I think Strick is going to be doing a little backpedaling.
You're really trashing him now.
And we'll talk to him next hour. Hey, Andy, you weren't listening to the show, were you?
Chris May just texting back. Thank you very much. Damn, got emotional. Go Billikens. He was getting emotional there talking about that.
Well, if you think of last year, and you had the Title IX investigation, and there were some players who, you know, allegedly did some things wrong.
Three really good guards.
But it also dragged out. I think the process was frustrating for everyone, and you had Scott Rosenblum and lawyers. Remember just what a mess that whole thing was. This year, that's all in the rearview mirror. You lost some players, but you're loaded up. Everybody in the 8-10 says you're the best team. You're going to win the conference title. And then Cartier quits the team right before 8-10 play begins. So they'd had some bad breaks, and that was sort of my mindset. But as an athletic director, you probably rarely – can afford to look at it that way. And he said he doesn't, except that weekend in Brooklyn, he did. Now, the game itself, you could beat Vatek. I'm not saying.
You could.
I mean, again, I said this yesterday. If you played 10 times, maybe they win 7. Maybe, I don't know. But certainly on a Friday night, they miss a couple of threes. They love to shoot threes.
Yeah.
You grab some you out-rebound them. They start missing threes. There's no reason to think you can't win that game. And for the last 5 trips, not that it really matters, but they've won their first-round game.
That's right, yeah.
Majerus beat, remember, he beat Memphis, that 8-9 game, and then gave Michigan State a great run, and they were the top seed that year, right? The next year was the New Mexico State, who had the real big kid, and then faced an Oregon team that was under-seeded,
really good,
right?
Yeah. And then the big victory was against NC State
from way down
in Orlando, which was awesome. They're down 16. They come back and win it in overtime.
And then they lose to Louisville.
Yeah, and Patino, they played that game really well.
The eventual national champion, right? Although, has that been vacated? So that didn't really happen, right?
That's right.
And then I think Larry Hughes' year, they won their first game, beat UMass and John Calipari, and they lost
Kentucky.
The eventual national champion. So if they lose to Virginia Tech, that means they're winning the national championship.
And then Highmark and Claggett's last year, they opened up with a victory against Minnesota, and then they lose to Wake Forest. And that was with Tim Duncan, and it was Highmark's last game, and he was just insane. That's what I always thought was interesting, is that Highmark and Ryan Robertson, so similar in so many ways. They both won state championships at public schools in St. Louis. They both had 1,000-point careers, and they both finished their careers with the best games of their careers in the last game in the NCAA tournament. Ryan, I think, went nuts on Kentucky. And then, of course, you know, we just talked about Scott, and now they're both doing extremely well in the financial.
In fact,
industry.
They're playing squash right now,
that's right,
as we speak.
So you know what happened?
Did
yesterday?
Ryan score like 40 in that game, or it was something insane, high 30s?
Yeah, it was. It was. I don't know if it's high 30. It was way high 20s. But yesterday, so we did this story with Claggett and Highmark, as we're kind of celebrating the Billikens every night at 10 o'clock, and I'm about to leave, and then I see Highmark say something to Claggs, and they said, "No, you can go." And they had this policy that every time they're together, they play a game of horse. And so he says, "No, you got to go." I said, "Okay." So then I, of course, text Claggs later, and I said, "What happened?" And he goes, "Oh, we have to play horse." And I said, "Can you tell me who won?" And he goes, "Who do you think?"
Really? Because I was going to say, I think Scott's closer to his playing weight currently than the Venice Menace.
Yeah, but Claggs in the gym every day coaching the junior Bills.
So he's shooting all day long, and Scott's wearing cufflinks and playing squash at lunchtime
now,
instead of basketball.
Here's the most amazing thing. Irwin Claggett carries a handicap of 3. He is nearly a scratch golfer. He never played at all growing up, didn't play as a young adult, and then he just picked it up like 15 years ago without any lessons, and he's almost a scratch golfer.
So some people are just born to be great athletes, Frank.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how hard you can,
and
how many shots we take.
Highmark says,
don't put me in your category.
Heimberg says, I can't beat him in anything. He gets me in horse, and now he gets me in golf, too. So, although
I wonder if players like that, like if you're an alum of the – now, Bonner was there in Brooklyn, right? Anthony Bonner, who's been reconnected with the program. What would you call him, like a special advisor almost at this
point?
That's
a good way of putting it, yep.
But you mentioned, I don't know if it's on air or off air, that he won't be there in San Jose. He's got a speaking engagement. But if I'm Claggett or Highmark or any of these guys, even Larry Hughes, don't you want to be there? Because it doesn't happen. 10th time in the history of the school to play in the tournament, more so recently because of the Majerus Cruz run. But I think if I played there, I would want to show up.
Absolutely.
I'd want to be there.
And Bonner wants to be there, but he has a speaking engagement in the Kingsport, Tennessee area this weekend, so he cannot get there. But he'll be
he's a man of his word, but I would say, you know what, Dr. Shavitz will write you guys a nice little check so I don't have to be there because he's very superstitious. He's going to want me in San Jose. I can't wait. And the fact that it's late Friday night, we got all day. You can enjoy the entire first round without being depressed or discouraged about your team, your game, if it's SLU. You get to wait it all out, enjoy every buzzer-beating shot, every upset, and then you just get to sit back and watch the last game on Friday.
How about anchoring the sports at Fox 2 or at Channel 5 at 10:20 on Friday night when you know that every sports fan doesn't care what you're saying because they're watching the game?
Yeah, it happens every once in a while. Super Bowls and World Series. And that's when you take some chances. That's the night Charlie should break out the turtleneck.
All right, what do you have coming up here in the coveted hour?
We'll be checking in with Strick. He's down at the rink. The Blues down to their final 9 games. A huge night for that second line. We'll break it down with Strick as we continue live here from O'Fallon, Missouri. Beautiful O'Fallon, right off Highway P. Hoff is here as well. We've got some... I'm trying to think if I threw some weird stats at you. Now, maybe we'll go through some of the Cardinal numbers. We're down to the final days. I'm a little concerned. I mean, Matt Carpenter's not playing, although Klabe seemed to indicate, he'll play this weekend,
yes, and Gomber been sent down.
All right, that's the latest. We'll continue live here, Midday Grind on 590 The Fan.